Good morning, everybody. Today is graduation Sunday. This is the day that we recognize and celebrate and send out our graduating seniors. And so I'm excited for them, but I also know that this is a time in your life that is probably the most nervous time that you've ever been. This is the biggest transition in your life so far. We have them sitting down front this morning, and my message today is going to be applicable to y'all, but I believe it's also going to be applicable to us as a whole church, because we're all familiar with transition in life, and every transition in life comes with a whole lot of unknown. We had breakfast with our graduates before this, and I was talking to some of them about their majors, and leading up to this, they shared with me their plans, where they're going to go and what they're going to major in, but just in talking with them, I realized that those plans were more written in pencil than in pen for a lot of them, and some of them, they're not really sure. And if you can remember back to when you graduated high school, you probably didn't have a whole lot of a clue of what you were doing either. I shared with my wife only recently that for about a day, I was an art major at Florida State. And what happened was I went to orientation and I looked around at all the other soon-to-be art majors and I realized, I don't know if I'm an art major. And that's how I ended up in ancient Greek. Makes sense, right? We don't know what we're doing. Some of you may change your major 3 or 4 times even. You may even change your school, and that's okay. What I want you to know this morning is that God gives us wisdom for the transitions of life. God called Abraham to go into a land that he would show him. Abraham certainly didn't have all the answers, and neither do we in whatever transition we find ourselves in, whether it's transitioning into adulthood, or a new job, or a new city, marriage, parenthood, grandparenthood, retirement, whatever transition you have on the horizon, God has wisdom for you, and we're going to see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so as you're turning there, I want to give you some context for this passage. You're probably familiar with the story of Exodus, that Moses, through the power of God, led the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery. And then they passed through the Red Sea, and they were headed to the promised land that God had promised that he would give them. But before they got in, they were not faithful. They lacked the faith necessary to enter the promised land. And so God sent them back into the wilderness for 40 more years until a new generation would be raised up. And so this is the context for Deuteronomy. This is the end of those 40 years. There's a new generation, and they are getting ready to go into the promised land. And so Moses is giving them the law a second time. And that's where we get the name Deuteronomy. It literally means second law. And so in chapter 5, Moses gives the Ten Commandments again. And in chapter 6, where we're going to be, Moses is impressing upon them the importance of knowing God's word and being obedient to God's word. And it comes with a strict warning in verses 13, first part of 14, verse 15 and 18. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Moses said, "Fear the Lord your God and worship him and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth." Those probably aren't words you're expecting me to say from the pulpit this morning or to read in your Bible, but it's there. Verse 18, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that you may prosper and so that you may enter and possess the good land the Lord your God swore to give your fathers." I'll sum that up real briefly. God was saying, be obedient or get kicked out. Be obedient or get kicked out of the promises that I have for you. But I want to remind you, church, that we have a better past than the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6. We have a better present, and we have a better promise. The Israelites, their past was being saved from a situation in Egypt. But as New Testament Christians, our past is Jesus Christ's death on a cross in his resurrection. We were saved from our sin by the perfect Passover lamb. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness with the presence of God among them in the tabernacle. But as Christians, we are walking through this life, sojourning through this life, in this world that's not our home, with the presence of God inside of us. And the presence of God inside of us is better than the presence of God among us. And the Israelites had a promised land that was dependent upon their obedience once they got in there. Y'all, our promised land is heaven. And our ability to stay in there when we get there is dependent upon the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. And so in other words, we're not getting kicked out. We have a guarantee in the Holy Spirit that God is beginning a good work in us and he will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. But we're not in the promised land yet. We're wandering, just as the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness. But just because we're wandering doesn't mean we're lost. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us to regenerate us, to help us, to convict us, to teach us, to lead us, to gift us, and to guarantee our salvation. You may not have all the information you want for the days ahead, but you have all that you need for life and for godliness. And graduates, I'll let you in on a little secret. Most of these adults in this room have no idea what they're doing either, okay? Including myself. So, we want to wander well. And we wander well when we are wholeheartedly devoted to God. Graduates and church family, no matter what season of life you're wandering through, remain wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." I believe we see three ways in Deuteronomy 6 for remaining wholeheartedly devoted to God. The first one, we need to give God our days. The second one, we need to remember God in our milestones. And the third one, we need to honor him in the unplanned moments. Let's pray before we dive into Scripture. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us. And as you've promised through your Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate Scripture, not just so that we can understand it, so that it can be in our hearts. God, I pray that the result today would not be knowledge, but godliness. Father, help us to grow in our love for you and our love for one another. And Lord, we pray especially for our graduates, that you would watch over them and keep them, and just remind them regularly of your faithfulness. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's start by looking at verse 4. Verse 4, we remain wholeheartedly devoted to God by giving him our days. Verses 4 and 5 are two of the most well-known verses in all of the Old Testament and in Scripture. Moses said, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Verse 6, "These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates." The Lord wants our wholehearted devotion. Verse 4 reminds us that the Lord alone is God. The Israelites were continuously reminded that there was no other God. The people around them worshipped all sorts of gods, and they may have worshipped one above others, but they were like, you know what, let me get as many gods as I can to kind of help me out. And the Lord reminded them that, no, you cannot do this. I alone am your God. Verse 5 calls us to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, strength. New Testament also says mind. This is the verse that Jesus quotes when the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22 ask him, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commands hang the whole law. And I'm not sure of this, but I think Jesus is actually pointing to himself. And he uses the word hang, and he's painting a picture of himself on the cross. because it's Jesus who loved God with all of his heart and soul and strength, not us. It's Jesus who loved his neighbor as himself, not us, and we are depending on his righteousness and not our own. And I believe that's what Jesus means when he said he came to fulfill the law. An expert in the law asked Jesus, what must be done to inherit eternal life in Luke chapter 10? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. And that led into this parable of the Good Samaritan. The Lord wants your wholehearted devotion. He is either Lord of every part of your life, or he is Lord of no part of your life. God will not settle for the role of advisor or co-pilot or mascot or EMT. He'll be king and he'll be king alone. And if he's your king, he's also your savior, your defender, your provider, your protector, your father, your friend, and your comforter. And so if we're going to remain wholeheartedly devoted to God, we need to give him our days. I'm a strong believer in the importance of building good habits. Maybe you saw that graduation speech where the guy said, you know, make your bed every day. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I try and build good habits in my lives. One that I have not been successful at is running. There's the guy who says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. That is not the case for me. I feel God's wrath and judgment when I run. But I admire John Carr, Anna James, all you runners out there, I admire you a lot. It is impressive just to endure that kind of pain regularly. But when it comes to running, what I know in theory, John Carr knows in practice, that first you form the habit, and then the habit forms you. Right? You build habits, and then those habits begin to shape who you are and how you live. And I think this is true with our spiritual lives as well. Wholehearted devotion to God is a Monday through Sunday activity, not just a Sunday morning event. And so these verses in 4 through 9 use language of habit forming. It says, repeat, talk about them when you sit and walk and lie down and get up. Bind them on your hands and as a symbol between your eyes, on your forehead. I mean, write God's word on your forehead so that you don't forget it. That is what is going on. But I really hope that you notice that the goal of all of this repeating and writing and talking is this. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. It's not just about memorizing scripture for the sake of memorizing it, but we know God's word and we learn God's word so that we can grow in godliness, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Remember how we have a better past and present and promise in Jesus Christ? I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 33, because these are the words that were given to the Israelites after they were kicked out of the promised land. They failed to live up to God's expectations, and the Babylonians came in and took them away. And Jeremiah is writing to them in this situation. Look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, even though I am their master. Verse 33, instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is the covenant that we have. This is the promise that we have. God's not expecting us to put his word on our hearts through work and through effort. No, God has done the work and the effort on his own, and he writes his word on our hearts through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we place our faith in Jesus. And as we wander in this life, the Spirit is leading us and teaching us and showing us how to grow in godliness. And on the day when Jesus comes, that work will be complete. When God's people failed to hide God's word in their hearts, God promised to write it on their hearts for them. And that is the good news that we have in Jesus. And so the way that the Spirit walks with us and works with us is we just daily submit to the Lord. I love Philippians chapter 2, 13 and 14. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is, yes, God has called us to do things, but he's the one really doing the work. Graduates, your gift from our church is a journal. It is a journal to help you establish a rhythm of daily Bible reading and scripture memorization and prayer. It's one I've been using for the last couple weeks. It's called the Scribe Bible Journal, and I found it really helpful. There's little tips and there's little tricks to help you create and establish habits. And church, if you don't have a plan or a method of how you're regularly getting into God's Word, I would strongly encourage you to think about that and how you're going to do that, and start today. Start reading Scripture today. Find a Bible reading plan. There's tons of good ones online. But giving God our days isn't just a practice for individuals. It's also for families and for Christian communities. That verse 9 said, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. I won't camp out here for long, but the responsibility of parents and leaders to prioritize and teach God's word in the home and in Christian communities is an important aspect of this passage. The Israelites' homes were intended to be distinctly devoted to the Lord, as were their cities. It was supposed to be clear that we worship the Lord. It's that verse in Joshua that a lot of people have in their homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Grandparents and parents, I would strongly recommend a book called Family Discipleship by Matt Chandler and Adam Griffin. This book takes principles from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and other parts of Scripture to give very practical methods for how we can disciple in our homes. I borrowed some of my language for this sermon from that book. And as a church, we are committed to emphasizing first priorities and saying, no, this is why we exist. And we're also committed to providing as many good resources as we can for our families so that you can disciple them well. I believe that if we learn to give God our days, most everything else will fall into place. But this passage also has a couple other, some other wisdom. We remain wholeheartedly devoted to God by remembering him in our milestones. And graduates, today is a milestone for y'all and your parents as well. In fact, the parents may even realize how much more of a milestone this is than even y'all right now. But I want you to remember God in this milestone. Let's read verses 10 through 12. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give you, a land with large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of every good thing that you did not fill them with, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. Soon the Israelites were going to be walking into a fully furnished promised land. They wouldn't have to build the cities, dig the wells, plant anything, because all of that was done for them and provided by God. And if they weren't careful, they would forget that it was God who did all the work and not them. In fact, that's what they would soon do. And it's a temptation for all of us. We see this with Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, that he thinks that he built up Babylon, that he was the one who had built all the buildings and the gardens. But in reality, it was God who was using King Nebuchadnezzar for his eternal purposes. Graduates, not a single person in this room is self-made or self-sufficient. Every single one of us has depended on other people to get us where we are today. And at the very least, we are dependent upon God for the abilities that we have and for the very breath in our lungs. This is a milestone in your life, so reflect on and be grateful for all of the people who have helped you to get this far. most of all, reflect on the faithfulness of God in your life. And church, I want to encourage you to do the same every birthday, every anniversary. Every life change that you experience is an opportunity to reflect on and remember God's faithfulness and goodness in your life. But we're not just called to remember God's faithfulness in the past, but we're also called to remember God's commands for the future. Verse 18, Moses said, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight." It's not just a practice in gratitude, but a call to remember what we've been taught. Graduates, we're not just celebrating with you today all that God has done in your life, but we're also sending you out to do what is right and good in whatever city that you go to. We're praying of you for wisdom and understanding to do what is right and good. And we're also entrusting you with the good news of Jesus so that throughout your life you can proclaim it among the nations and teach it in your homes. So we remain wholeheartedly devoted to God by remembering him in our milestones, but also by honoring him in the unplanned moments of life. And there sure are a whole lot of those. Let's read verses 20 through 25. "When your son asks you in the future, 'What is the meaning of the decrees, statutes, and ordinances that the Lord our God commanded you?' Tell him this: 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Before our eyes, the Lord God inflicted great and devastating signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and on all his household. But he brought us from there in order to lead us and to give us the land that he swore to our fathers. The Lord commanded us to follow all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our prosperity always and for our preservation as it is today.'" Verse 25, "Righteousness will be ours if we are careful to follow every one of these commands before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." Graduates and church, be ready. Be ready for those unplanned moments of life when you have an opportunity to share the faithfulness of God and what he has done in your life. For those of us who have children and grandchildren, this is immediately applicable. It said, "When your son asks you." And I haven't gotten to the point of my son asking me anything yet, but I have already seen opportunities where I can begin to teach him. The days are full of opportunities to teach our children about God and his word. And y'all, my dad was pretty good at this, at least in one specific way. From time to time, he would feel the need to remind me that my room did not belong to me. That my room belonged to him, and he could do what he wanted with it. But he was also good about adding this. He said, "Ultimately, this house doesn't belong to me. This house and everything in it belongs to God." And I didn't realize it at the time, but he was teaching me Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And this simple and repeated reminder about God's sovereignty over creation laid a foundation for learning gratitude, contentment, responsible management, and generosity. Graduates, commit today to doing what is right and good in the Lord's sight, even in those unplanned moments, because you will have those. Be ready to love your neighbor as yourself and to resist temptation. Be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ when an opportunity arises. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "In your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you." And what is our hope? Our hope is even better than what I just read in this passage. This passage said, "Righteousness will be ours if we are careful to follow every one of these commands." Our hope is that righteousness will be ours because Jesus was careful to obey every one of God's commands. Life is full of transitions. This certainly won't be the first one. This is the first among many in a row, probably. And we're all wandering through most of them. We don't have all the information that we want, but we have all that we need for life and for godliness. And, you know, sometimes I'll get asked, how do I know what God wants me to do with my life? I like to say this, 95% of knowing what God wants us to do with our life is found in reading his word. 1% we can figure out through prayer, and the other 4% we find out in hindsight. But even though we're wandering, we don't have to be lost, because God's word, we have God's word to instruct us and God's spirit to lead us. And we wander well when we remain wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord by giving him our days, remembering him in our milestones, and honoring him in the unplanned moments. In just a moment, we'll recognize and celebrate our seniors. They'll come up on stage and we'll give them the gift that we have for them. And then they'll come down and they'll stand in front, and we're all going to pray over them as we send them out. And so, Miss Robin, do you mind coming down at this time to help me with this part? I'm going to share with you their name, where they graduate, or graduated from, where they're headed, what they plan on doing, at least for now. And I'm going to share with you their favorite Bible verse that they have picked out. So we have 14 graduates this morning. And I'll say that as I was planning this, I realized it's been 12 years since I graduated high school, which means I could have done this twice now, which I didn't like thinking about that, but I was talking to somebody from 8:30, and he was talking about how he remembered when some of these graduates' parents graduated, and that made me feel better. But all right, so first up, we have Hayes Barwick coming. Hayes has graduated from Thomas County Central. He is headed to Georgia Southern. He plans on pursuing a degree in construction management. And his favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So, thank you. Next we have Madeline Gaines. Madeline is graduating from Thomasville High School. She is headed to Georgia College and State University, and she plans to study exercise science, and her verse is Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Good job. Next we have Ann Murray. Ann Murray is graduating from Brookwood. She is going to Auburn University. She plans to study anthropology, and her verse is Proverbs 16:3. "Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed." Good job, Ann Murray. Next we have Anna James. Anna James is graduating from Thomas County Central High School. She won't tell you this, but I will. She's valedictorian this year. She plans to study biochemistry and minor in Spanish at Kennesaw State. Her favorite verse is Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." Good job. Next we have Macy Kirkendall. Macy is graduating from Thomas County Central High School and headed to UGA. She plans on studying political science. And her favorite verse is Psalm 31:24, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." Well done, Macy. We also have Morgan Kirkendall. Morgan graduated from Thomas County Central High School. She is headed to Georgia Southern to study exercise science. And her favorite verse is Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God, Morgan. We have Sophia Kona. Sophia Kona is graduating from Thomas County Central High School. She's headed to Georgia Southern to study psychology, and her favorite verse is 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith and not by sight." We also have Bradley Lashley, headed to Tallahassee Community College. He graduated from Thomas County Central High School. He plans to attend Florida State after that. Go Noles. He is going to study computer engineering. His favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong." Good job, Bradley. Thank you. We have Catherine Mulford. Catherine graduated from Central as well. She's headed to Troy University, and her favorite verse is John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift of the world, gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. So, well done, Kathy. We have Jessica Neesmith. Jessica is graduating from Central. She's headed to Georgia Southern to study business management. And her favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Good job, Jessica. Lauren Renfro is graduating from Thomasville High School. She's headed to Georgia College and State University. And her favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. Well done, Lauren. Bree Ryan graduated from Central, and she's headed to UGA. And she plans on taking the pre-vet track. And her favorite verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well done, Bree. We have Luke Streets. Luke is graduating from Thomas County Central High School and headed to Georgia Southwestern. His favorite verse is Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. Well done, Luke. And last but not least, we have Annalie Turner. She is graduating from Thomasville High School and headed to Valdosta State University. She plans on becoming a nurse practitioner and also obtaining her real estate license. Her favorite verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Good job, Annalie. Will you please stand with me as we pray over these seniors and get ready to send them out? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in our families and in our church. We thank you for these seniors who have graduated, who have grown up in our church. And God, we pray that you would provide them with wisdom and understanding for the unplanned moments of life. God, we pray that you would help them to honor you in those moments. We ask that you would help them to remember you in this milestone and the many others that they have ahead of them. And Father, we pray that you would, by the work of your Spirit, continue to work out goodness and godliness and righteousness in their lives as they seek you. And Father, as a church family, I pray that you would help us to emphasize first priorities, to love our graduates well. And God, we pray for the places that they are going, that they would be better off because we are sending them out. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.